everyone, and welcome to Fam for All Moms. This is my sexy phone operator
voice. Oh, I like it.
My name is Shahrzad Kiade, and joining me today is Susan Yara and
Hi.
Our dear friend Dinah Trout.
Hey.
Hello.
I'm very excited, guys. This is going to be
too.
A super fun episode. We're going to do two episodes with Dinah. So Dinah is, like I said, our dear friend. I love her so much. If you've seen the Fam YouTube channel, you've seen Dinah before. She is... I don't know. Do you like to be called a mom boss? I mean, I know that's what you are. You're like some people
it's
are
what
like
I always imagined.
Sick of that like word, like a mom boss. But you're a mom of two. My new neighbor, motherfucker.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I have to say, you guys. Boom. Like, I want to say I'm envious, but I'm actually jealous that you guys are both in PV and you're together, and it looks like so much fun.
It is.
I'm like in my little house, and I'm like,
oh, God, move there.
Just come on in.
I know.
Move we're very welcoming.
Yeah,
we're
I know.
Very welcoming.
I know.
I mean. When I tell you I love it so much, my neighbors give me fresh vegetables that they grow in their garden on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They watch over my house all the time. They're so nice. People say hi when you walk by. It just feels chill.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, and I love it. Anyway, and so Dinah's my neighbor. And she also is the co-founder of the best kombucha in the entire world, Health Aid.
Yeah. And they have a new product.
Yes,
let's plug real quick and then we'll get into some questions. I am drinking right now Booch Pop.
It's so good, guys.
It's a feel good bubbly beverage, and it's all natural. It's good for your gut, and it has way less sugar than soda. So everybody, as soon as Dinah told me about it when she walked in, I was like, oh wait, I need to get my mom on this so that she gets off of the soda.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We have a code for anybody. Also, it's FAM20, FAM20, if you want to get some
kombucha.
Yeah.
Do it.
On healthaid.com.
So healthaid.com. Yes.
Healthaid.com.
We'll put a link in the, we'll put the info in the description well. But we're really excited about that.
Cool.
You know, a fun fact, I'll shut up soon, is that you can mix Booch Pop with a little tequila if you want to. I'm just saying.
100%.
I'm just saying, Dinah and I may have tried that. I may be
drinking that now.
Oh.
No, actually, the lemon lime with tequila is like really good.
It's so
good.
You
can probably imagine. I mean, you're drinking it now. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, I'm telling you guys, I'm like, when I see you guys like hanging out together in PV,
it could
seems
be you,
like,
Susan.
I know. And I think about this all the time. Like, oh, why haven't I moved yet?
And I
we've
got...
named cocktails after the
I
streets
know.
In PV.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called the Whitley Collins.
Whitley. Hello, are you? Drinking a Whitley Collins. You know, Meg just moved there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. All of my friends are moving to PV, and it looks like you guys are just loving life, and I feel like I'm stuck in my house.
Well, you're losing
money hits adjacent.
You're not
Lisa's
stuck.
Lisa's up soon. Come on down. It's a safe zone.
I know. It's true. Okay, wait. So in this episode, we actually asked Dinah to join us because she has a very interesting second birth story. She has an interesting first birth story, but the second one, she decided to do at home. So we're going to talk about that and what she went through and experienced and stuff, like the pros and the cons of it. But first, we're going to answer some questions that are very popular questions in our private Facebook group. Okay, so the first one is, what is harder, transition from zero to one baby or transition from one to two babies?
Yeah. One, probably zero to one.
Yep.
For me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Why?
Well, one to two, I just was not like anything that I had control over, I did differently. You know? So there's the shit you can't control, like how well your baby sleeps and, you know, how well they breastfeed and all that shit. So that's still complex and complicated. But the stuff like I got a night nurse for number two. That was totally
like you were just on
changing.
It. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I just was because it was torturous for the first one. I just didn't sleep and it completely impacted every part of my life.
And you nursed Hendrix for 2 years.
Two years.
That's
so
a long time.
Yeah. So this one I finished. I officially finished about a week ago.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Yep.
It's a pretty big deal.
I know.
Yeah. Only other moms get that, by the way.
I know.
I like open the conversation. You know how like vegans tell you they're vegan right away? I'm like, I just stopped breastfeeding. People are like, cool.
I said it. I was like, I feel that.
Yeah.
I felt that one for you.
Oh, it's a different experience. Yeah.
Well, it's also the last time as far as you plan, right? Like it's the last time you will.
Oh, it's the motherfucking last time.
It's the last time you're having a baby. And then that consequently means that you won't be breastfeeding anymore ever again.
And I have like a very fond memory of it, but I'm definitely done with having children.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, I love them though.
Yeah.
So that's, it's not, it's just,
they're so
no, we understand.
Yeah.
You don't
so,
need to explain.
Dying at a mom, that transition, regular.
Yeah. So
adding that was the hard part.
Yes, harder. For sure. And then also, like, that part was harder for the marriage, too, because yeah. there's so much, right, that you have to, like, learn together.
Yeah.
So much easier to handle just yourself and your husband. So much easier the second time because he already knew to clean the pump parts.
Like, right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing. Like, all that stuff was easier, too. Breastfeeding, like, how to pump, when to pump. Like, it kind of was easier.
Yeah.
And then even I'll just finish with, like, I have a nanny. I'm very grateful for all these things, but I've put them in place because I know how much easier they make my life. The nanny was already there for baby number two.
Right.
I didn't have to. I was so worried, you know, about going back to work. That's like so hard.
Yeah.
Second time is a lot easier.
I agree with you. 0 to 1. And I think what it is that you don't realize that you have to almost detox from your single self. Like it's just you can't even imagine what that is. Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
what it is to suddenly go from. There were so many things we were trying to hold on to in that first year of having our baby, like
yes.
trying to be the cool parents, mm-hmm. trying to like, oh, you put your baby on a schedule and can't go to like brunch at 11 or noon because
Luther.
Your baby.
Yeah.
yeah like, we aren't going to do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to take our baby out in a carriage and mm-hmm. that baby's going to sleep at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. I don't know why we were fighting to like hold
same,
on
though.
To it.
Yeah. I mean, we took Idris to Paris when he was 13 months old. Like we were in London with him. We went everywhere. We wanted to like stay because I think it was that loss of our former selves that we were trying to hold on to. And I think I agree. I think it was harder to go from regular Shahrzad to mom. Mm-hmm. Adding Cyrus to the mix, easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not everybody agrees with that. But,
easy, easy,
but
no, I'm easy.
Easy,
I'm in.
Peace of fucking God. No, well, I mean,
easy was freaking. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck did I do with my time?
Yes.
Right?
I want a day of that life
oh
back.
Oh my God. Well, so when I think
I would be so
time,
successful right now if I could go back in time and do the things that I can do now that I have two kids.
Well, we can't.
Yeah, it's too late.
But, you know, but no, there's a confidence going into second time motherhood that I definitely felt. Breastfeeding, cleaning mm-hmm. the pump, not putting as much pressure on myself, knowing it's going to be a shit show for a year.
Yep.
Not even thinking about doing anything but Netflix and nursing.
Isn't
you know?
That so much about life? Like the it's
expectations.
Almost expectations.
Yeah.
It's when you set an expectation for something and then it doesn't deliver. That's when you're the most upset.
Exactly.
And it's like number two, you're like prepared for the fucking war zone.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so,
so anything
when you get
better
it,
than that
exactly.
is like, you know, oh, this is easy, right? When you go into it thinking like, this is going to be so fucking horrible. And then you happen to get like a 4-hour stretch of sleep. You're like, this is kind of amazing, actually.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
And it's so expectations that you're so right. Like I wasn't like trying to grocery shop too. I'm like, no, fuck that. Amazon Prime. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a.
Yes. The pressure.
Yeah,
the pressure that you put on yourself to be for being a parent is just you throw it out the door because you're like, okay, why was I putting that much pressure mm-hmm. on myself to do everything the way I thought it needed to be done?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like everything does feel easier. I will say though, everyone told me that having the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or whatever it is that you want to do was easy, like no biggie. You just like throw another one in. That's not completely true because I definitely expected even easier. Than what I got.
You mean with Isla?
Yeah, like she's definitely not the same. I mean, when people say that your kids are different, like
they're
different
right.
personalities.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Like they are so different. So like Isla is just not the kind of baby. Like she is not the same kind of sleeper as Nikosh.
Yeah.
She's very opinionated. Like she, you know, she doesn't eat everything that we like. Nikosh mm-hmm. was a great eater all the way until he was like a toddler.
Yeah.
And then we start having the issues with him, mm-hmm. with like him being picky about food. She
was born an asshole.
She's absolutely, absolutely.
Your baby's a dick.
I know. It is surprising how different they are, huh? Like I imagine it's even more for you because you have a boy and a girl.
Yeah,
we share that. We both have both boys.
Boy and moms.
And I used to assume that you know, like that's all nature, not nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, yeah. I guess what I meant is I used to assume that like no, we're making girls girls and we're
right,
making
right,
boys
right.
boys.
Yeah.
Right. My boys are going to be, you know, totally down the middle. And like, you know, of course, they come out the womb being like, you know, tractor, car, plane.
Subdued.
Yeah. And now Hendrix is my 5-year-old and he watches T-Rex. Like he enjoys when they eat people. He's like, oh my God, yeah, rip off the arm.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and
yeah,
he didn't like learn that from you.
I'm still
you
traumatized know, from Jurassic Park.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, question. How did you go into labor? How was labor going into labor with each kid?
Yeah.
Oh, number one, like going into labor.
Yeah. Do you, what was it like? The movies where the water broke and the.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And like, were you like early? Were you on time? Like, was
I was late for both. So number one, I was like 7 days late. And I was doing it in a birthing center. So it started with a break of water, but then it took 36 hours to have the baby.
36. Damn.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I feel you because I was in that same boat at the
same.
He
was born in water,
same
yes.
place, but I didn't have that, your experience.
Yeah, so my experience was, it was like organic in that it started with the water break. But what was odd about that one is I had, I think, 28 hours where I was having contractions, and those contractions were progressing a lot, like mm-hmm. enough that I had gone to the birthing center three times thinking it was time. So like we were at not even 3-1-1, 2-1-1. Like I was constantly having contractions, but I was still 0 centimeters dilated.
Oh.
So every time I went and I was sent home, they're like, you're not even at the fucking starting point. Wow. I'm like, what?
Wow.
It's like, so it was at the point where I'm like, just here's a knife.
Yeah.
Take it the fuck out of me. I don't care. I can't go anymore. Yeah. I'm like exhausted.
Yeah.
And then I dilated all 10 centimeters in 2 hours. So it was called a violent birth. That's what she called it.
Right before I haven't heard that term before.
Right when I went into the tub, she's like, this is what we call a violent birth.
Oh my God.
In nursing school. I was like, great.
Cool. Sign me up.
Phenomenal.
Violent birth. I love it.
But he was born in the tub and no complications, you know. So that wasn't like the best birth.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by HelloFresh. What I really love about HelloFresh is that I can customize it. You guys know I'm mostly vegetarian, every now and then pescatarian, and I can get the perfect HelloFresh box for my family. With HelloFresh, there's something for everybody.
Absolutely. You know, for me, it's all about saving time. I save some money. I stress way less when I have a delivery system like this because I know what we're going to eat for dinner. So as soon as I'm done with work, I come out, get the dinner started. It's already pretty much prepped for me with HelloFresh. And then I get to play with the kids a little bit before bedtime. And that is such an important part of it for me.
You know, for me, since I spearhead most of the eating in my house, HelloFresh gives me an opportunity to sit back and let my husband take charge because he is good at following directions and he's able to follow these very clearly and feed me for a change, which is excellent. You guys can go to HelloFresh.com/FAM80 and use code FAM80 to get a total of $80 off across 5 boxes, including free shipping on your first box.
Ooh, I love that. So you get 5 boxes for $80, and that's including free shipping on your first box. You just go to HelloFresh.com/FAM80 and use code FAM80, and you will get that deal.
My births were completely different because I did try to have a vaginal birth. I was 2 days essentially early when I went into labor, like 5 or 6 hours into it. They were like, he's stuck. We need to have a C-section. I was like, get him out. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much the thing. Second time around, planned C-section. I walked into the hospital at my planned time.
Yeah.
It happened exactly when they planned it. Like it was like boom, 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 exactly what they said it was going to be.
Yeah. So that's so cool.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was
a little bit like what we were talking about before, the second less expectations, like just understanding.
Yeah.
You didn't have the expectation to have the vaginal birth, which I feel like is such a disappointment for so many people, you know?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, second time around.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Compared to mine.
I mean, there are things about sounds like really a planned nice. C-section that suck, right? Like it's kind of scary. Like you're kind of like, oh, I'm going to literally just walk into a surgery.
The night before, I remember I was just.
You get a little anxious.
I wasn't nervous at all until the night before. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like I have to go have surgery tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got like, I hope everything goes okay. And then, and then for us, it was at 5 a.m. the next day. So luckily, I think that's better to have it super early. So you're not spending like your morning thinking about
it was a totally fine birth, but like there are things that people don't think about. It's like you sit there at the hospital
and it's cold.
It's freezing cold
in a gown
for like 2 hours. There's a nurse that like will talk to you about the whole situation. Hopefully you get a cool one.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, tell you, like, the doctors come in at the very last minute to tell you what's going to happen mm-hmm. and stuff.
And they take you into the operating
room. Yeah, you literally stroll over.
And are you alone?
No.
Michael was with me both times.
Yeah, same with me. I don't know how it is right now in COVID times, but I think, you know, like, it's weird. Like, they tell you, like, okay, they're going to, I remember the nurses they're, you know, getting you set up for your, what's it even called? See, I can't even remember what it's called now. Spinal. They're like getting you ready for your spinal. And they're like, you're going to feel this, this, and this. And they're like, it might hurt a little when it's going in. And I'm like, whatever. I've had Botox and filler. Like, like, just get the needle in. But then you lay there and it's a very weird experience, right? Because.
You're alone for that. Yeah. They don't usually let the partner in for that.
I guess it's like a
strange. They might prick the wrong back.
Well, it's going to get dark, but I think there's been like a lot of cases where like people have needle phobia, like the partner, the husband,
and
they pass out. And I think some of them have like passed out and died. Oh. Sorry, I just laughed.
No,
I didn't. Sometimes I laugh when I'm. She's like nervous.
Wait it out. Yeah. But and then like the weirdest part, the difference is like when you're having an emergency one, it feels super scary. First off, and with my experience, I had already had an epidural. I was already really out of it. I was already exhausted. So it like felt like it went really fast. Whereas like the whole thing with like a planned one felt like it took forever. It felt like odd Twilight Zone-ish because I'm like laying there. I can't feel the bottom half of my body. Mm-hmm. The doctor's having a conversation with the nurse about like his daughter starting to date some dude. I can hear my husband chatting away with like who knows who he's talking to. And he's having a grand old time. Like the first time around I had a C-section, he was scared shitless. Like he thought like things are going downhill for him and like life might change forever for him. And this time around, he's like, what song do you guys want to listen to? Like, I've got this playlist. And he's like chatting away. And I'm like laying there thinking like, this is the Twilight Zone. No one can hear me because I'm pretty much numb. And I'm just laying here having to deal with all these conversations around me and don't know what's happening. So it's a little weird for sure.
Yeah. That's a very different experience.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. How about you?
I was at the birthing center with Idris. I went there for the last few months of pregnancy. And I labored forever. I was in excruciating pain. It was miserable. She broke my water.
Like a jabbing.
Nothing happened. I never dilated. I did the balloon catheter thing to open up. I just didn't dilate. And then finally, I think it was like maybe, I don't know, 30 plus hours. She was like, well, you got to go to the hospital now.
Yeah.
So we went to Cedars, which obviously was right across the street. And then it was a miserable night that night. But I had an epidural at that point. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Oh, so they didn't do a C-section right away?
No.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it wasn't like an emergency situation?
No. It was an emergency, but eventually they were like, you're probably not going to have a vaginal birth.
It's been three fucking days.
Time to get over this.
I know. I was like, okay, but I told everybody I was going to do it, and I have to. But no, anyway, my mom's like famous
I love
line
this.
She was like, so hold on. You're going to have a natural birth. I'm like, yeah, mom. And she goes, let me get this straight. You've done drugs your entire life. But the one time you need drugs, you're not going to do them. Like, let's think about that. And I was like, you're right, mom. Give me the epidural. So anyway, and then with Cyrus, it was planned. And, you know, Idris had to go to the NICU, which sucked at the time. But now I think about it. And now I like can barely remember that because there's been so many other things that have happened since then.
Was it like emergency NICU?
No. And that's why I don't think it was like a huge deal for us per se. He was just a little, they thought he might have jaundice, which I've heard that if babies, because he was also 2 weeks late. So I've heard that if babies are overcooked, they can have a tendency of having a little temperature issue, jaundice. So he ended up being fine. It was a trip to go home. They made us go home. To walk into our apartment without the baby when we were supposed to be walking into the apartment with the baby. So that was like an emotional experience and not in a good way. And we were there to like literally shower and go right back. And so that was weird. But anyway, I mean, you know, again, it feels like that was so long ago.
I know.
And I block so much out
because
I just totally focus
on. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, fuck, I remember that night.
I was like, it's crazy. So let's get into your birth story.
Yeah. So this is second birth.
This is second birth.
Yeah. It was big. It was a big deal.
I remember seeing you a few days after. And so with Hendrix, you had a birthing center with a midwife. With number two, and I think this is also an interesting conversation because I've read that so many people are doing home births because of COVID. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm going to try and avoid the hospital. Mm-hmm. So second birth, let's walk through everything that happened.
Sure. Yeah. So the first, after the first, because of my experience, I pretty much labored the entire time at home. And then I just like had the baby at the very end in the bathtub. And the most excruciating parts of the journey, the birth journey, was going to and from the birthing center.
Yeah.
Sitting in the freaking car and then being told by a midwife, you're nowhere close. Go back home. Like that was the most disheartening part. And I just remember being like, but everything else is the same as doing this at home.
Right.
It's the same midwife. It's the same type of midwife. They have all the same materials. Like, there's no reason I should be going to a birthing center and not my house. So that was the reasoning behind doing it at home for number two. I'm like, it's the same from a safety standpoint. And the benefit is I don't have to get in the car, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then also the nurses, the midwives that do it at home, they generally are there with you longer. They don't just want you to come for the delivery. So they'll show up like at 311 and be with you the whole time. And I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
So I did my research. I found what I thought to be like the best midwife in LA. And I was looking for someone that was like scientific about it. Like, so not too, I guess I'm just trying to set the stage that I wasn't interested in like,
super,
you know,
hippie dippy,
rose petals.
Holistic.
And yes. I did want a safe birth. That was the most important thing to me. So I was looking for a midwife that like had a lot of hospital experience, was still active in the hospital, but also did midwife at home births. So landed on one. Great. Awesome. Did all my care through her. I also did the care at Kaiser with a doctor kind of in parallel. So I would always have two visits.
Yeah.
Sort of a little extra work. But I did that just to essentially just verify and validate that.
Yeah, like you're being safe.
I was good. Yeah. So he was born 2 weeks late. Same thing happened. His name is
Tavis was?
Oh, yeah. 14 days.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it was hard. So, yeah, we started. My water broke like maybe 13 days in, 13 days post due date. And I was super excited because I was so ready to get this thing out. and it progressed differently than with Hendrix. So I was having contractions. The contractions progressed. So sort of slowly, like they started and then, you know, they came closer and then closer and closer. So by, let's say my water broke at like 10 a.m. by like 6 p.m., I felt like I was like really in labor. Mm-hmm. It wasn't super, super painful yet, but like I was struggling talking during contractions and then kind of talking between. So just to give you a sense, so not too, too long, especially compared to 36 hours.
Yeah.
And progressed. Everything seemed normal. The midwife came. I was 3 centimeters dilated, which was already such a fucking win for me.
Yeah.
Because remember the previous one?
Yeah.
So when she came,
all.
I was 3. I'm like,
not
well,
a, not
yeah,
a pilot
we're in
birth.
The game. This is happening. And then it was like a couple hours. And then I was like 4 and then 5. You know, so the whole thing ended up being, I think, he was born at midnight that night. So not too bad at
all.
Yeah. And he was born in the tub. It was so fucking painful. Holy shit. This one was more painful than number one.
Really?
Not the labor part.
Yeah.
The vagina part.
Yeah, like the ring of fire.
The ring of fire was a real thing with this one. And he was a whole pound heavier. So maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But I definitely vividly remember being like, holy fuck, this is next level. So, okay. we get in the bath. We have the baby. Everything's great. We're laying in bed. And I'm like, wow, this was a great experience.
You're at your house.
I'm in my house. I'm in my bed. My husband's there. I've got my music on. My son was with my oldest son was with his grandparents, like not going to interrupt us or anything like that. It was really nice. By the way, laboring at home too is really awesome. Like the whole way through, like transition phase being at home, because you could be wherever you wanted. You can handle the, you know, you didn't feel gross about getting on the floor. Like many things that were nice about it.
Yeah.
So many things that were nice.
But can I ask? Yeah. So you're like in your head when you're like, I'm going to give birth at home. You know, for sure you're not doing an epidural.
Mm-hmm.
See, I need the crutch.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm the opposite. If it's there, I'm going to take it.
Ah.
So because I had this goal to have a natural birth, the second it's there, I would have had it.
Got it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I was begging for drugs. The second one less so, because I kind of knew what was ahead and it was so much shorter.
Like you get past this hump.
It was just the very, very end that was harder with number two. But where the weirdness with this birth happened was after he was born. So the birth itself was kind of normal, I would say, and very beautiful from that perspective. The midwife was kind of out of my way. What was interesting about that birth too, just because we're all moms here, it was like a very personal experience. The first one, I felt that I needed a lot. I was constantly needing information from my midwife, from my doula, from my husband. Like I needed, I don't know, support, information, I don't know, validation. This time I like, it was me.
You're like, I got this.
I just totally, it was my thing. I'm like, give me some fucking coconut water. Thank you. That's all I need you for.
Yeah, coconut water.
Get the coconut water. And then get the fuck out of my face. So that was cool. But okay, so then he was born and I was tired and I was just like so happy he was born. And he just sort of like, he looked tired too, but that seemed normal to me. And my husband, they were weighing him. So at home, they don't have any of those apparatus that they have at the hospitals and stuff. So they weigh him with like that bag with the weight on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost how you weigh a suitcase.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is kind of funny. And they have like, I don't know, just like normal thermometers that you buy at CVS. There's a lot out of there. Like, is that legitimate? And then you're like, I guess it is. But it's not like the stuff at the hospital. I'll just say that. And the nice thing is you are always with your baby. They don't, ever take him away. They immediately give him to you. They help you to the bed and you're with your baby. So that's pretty cool. I love that experience. So anyway, they weigh him and everything. And my husband, my husband's very thorough. So he wanted to inspect the baby. Mm-hmm. We had the lights all dim and he's like, turn on those lights. He turns on the lights and, you know, he's inspecting the baby and he notices that along the belly button line, like right around there, there's sort of essentially a line where below the belly button, it was a little bit bluer than above the belly button. So he was all flush and pink on top. And just a little bit bluish on the bottom. But you know when babies are born, they're like a little bit bluish?
Yeah. There's a lot of shit going on when they're born.
They're breathing for the first time for the love. So I was sort of like, it's fine. Like, it's fine. You know, I kept saying, and I think I was a little bit optimistic. I wanted it to be fine. So I'm like, it's fine, Justin. It's fine. Like, this is nothing, whatever.
And this is why he's also your co-founder.
Exactly. He's like, no, we have to fix that. So then we kind of watched it. The midwife was sort of looking. Anyway, that experience sort of continued for another hour where we were a little bit like, is this line getting darker?
And your midwife is still there.
She's totally still there. And she's sort of like, this is unusual.
Yeah.
But it's not like appearing to affect his personality. But then he started getting more lethargic. And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, he just went through birth.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, yeah, but he's not like feeding. I want to wait till he really feeds. And so then like she was a little concerned with like his suck not being super strong. And so it was a very sort of gradual conversation over hours of, you know, like this sort of not being normal, but it was not at all emergency situation. Baby's not bleeding. Baby's blue. Nothing like that. It was like sort of a gradual, like maybe we should think about going to the doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we?
Yeah.
It was like that. So then the midwife's assistant is like, I have this amazing doctor at this great hospital. We should just call him. He'll come. I know him. He'll make a home call in the middle of the night and he'll just make us all feel better because we're kind of going back and forth on
this. Right.
And in retrospect, we should have just motherfucking gone to the doctor if we were concerned at all. I don't know what it is in our brains that like...
It's a second baby thing too, right? Like well, we are so
you're
confident.
Tired. Yeah. And you just had a good birth. So you're not thinking...
Yes.
There's just so much that goes through your mind.
Right.
Who knows, right? Like who knows?
Yeah. So the midwife, and I mean, and I liked her a lot, but she forgot her pulse ox meter. It's kind of a critical thing.
Yeah.
Pulse ox meters, to everybody who wants to know, are those things that snap on your fingers or toes and they measure the amount of oxygen that your blood is getting at that point.
Yeah.
So they do it to the toe because they're essentially seeing how much oxygen is circulating through the whole body, right? And she forgot that. So when he was a little bit blue, we couldn't measure if that was an oxygen issue. And so then we're like, that's cool. There's a 24-hour CVS. Let's go find one. Okay, they were sold out. Then we bought one and we didn't have batteries. Yeah. It was a little bit of this type of thing. And I'm like, this is fucking amateur hour over here.
And it's also
and it was not
like
an amateur midwife.
One or two in the morning or something. Like, yes, so you guys are delirious. Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit I was getting frustrated at the home birth experience at this point because I'm like, how do you not have your... That's like a checklist thing. Come
right.
On, you know, and then number two, like, seriously, you bought the thing and not the batteries?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So then this doctor comes at 2 a.m. and it sort of gets more extreme here. He calls Justin calls and he's like, I don't have a smartphone. I have a flip phone. So I don't know how to get to your house. You have to give me directions.
Oh, my God.
And that should have been another red flag.
Right. Yeah.
But Justin's like, all right. You know, you go down Washington. Yeah. You know, we're just trying to make this work. So the doctor gets there. He pulls out a pulse oximeter from, I shit you not, 1960s. It's
oh
like,
my God.
It's like huge.
It's huge.
It's got like mercury. It's like the equivalent of somebody bringing one of those thermometers with mercury in it.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, yeah, we've moved past this.
Yeah. Well, he's got a flip phone, so yeah.
Yeah.
This is last year we're talking about, too.
This is last year, one year ago. Right. So then he pulls that out and, you know, he can't get it to work. And he's like, do you have a safety pin? So he's like putting the safety pin in there, trying to get this thing to turn on. I mean, this is what we're at.
Oh, shit.
And I'm just sort of sitting here with my baby, holding him. I'm like, he's fine. You guys look at him. He's looking at me. He's cooing. Yeah. He's calling. Like, it was not an abnormal situation yet. Anyway, fast forward. This thing with the doctor happened for another hour where he was fiddling with this freaking pulse oximeter.
My God.
And Justin's getting more and more frustrated. Anyway, we eventually get the pulse oximeter to work and it says like something not good. It alarms basically when we put it on the kid. It's like 80-something%. And he's like, let me try it again. And then I'm like, no. We're fucking going to the hospital like right now. And I was so frustrated at that point and it had been so long that I was like, I'm just dialing 911 myself.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the hospital ourselves in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Super important point, by the way, because I ended up being able to go to the most...
the closest.
Yeah, closest hospital, but also the best. So the what happened in the ambulance was pretty awful. So he started to progress pretty fast, like right around that time that the pulse ox showed 83, he coughed up a bunch of blood and mucus, like a cup's worth.
Oh my God.
And we were like, oh my God. Like, you know, let's go. And I was like, what do I do? Somebody get me pants.
Yeah.
You know? So Justin's in my closet trying to get me pants. So again, the home birth experience in this situation wasn't awesome. I didn't prepare for this at all. So I wasn't like already in a medical establishment. So Justin's looking for pants. I'm like shoving pads into a purse. I don't know where anything is. I just gave birth, you know, I'm totally out of it. Justin's like, you need some food. I'll grab some yogurts. Like we weren't prepared for this part. The ambulance people come and it's like 8 hot firemen. Let's just talk about that for a second. I was definitely like,
hello.
Cool.
I can just
for
picture
a split
like,
second.
And,
like that.
Like literally like you just gushed, like you're gushing with blood. You don't
for
have
a split
pants
second.
On.
I was like, sweet. And then I was like, fuck, no. Okay, this is not good. They did the pulse ox, verified it was horrible.
Yeah.
And that just to me also confirmed that what we were doing was a little bit amateur hour. Like
you should have been.
Their pulse ox was so legit. 4 babies, took 2 seconds, like connected to a thing, no question. Yeah. They were like, we need to get this baby to an emergency room right now, fast.
Oh, fuck.
So then I'm like, oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So then we run downstairs. I'm holding the baby. He's starting to turn blue now everywhere.
I've heard this story and it makes me sick.
That's like the worst thing to ever happen. You're like, I can't believe what the fuck is happening, right?
This episode is brought to you by Candlewick Press, publisher of Will You Be My Friend. From the author and illustrator duo Sam McBratney and Anita Jerome comes this delightful sequel to the international bestseller, Guess How Much I Love You. 25 years after we met the Nut Brown Hairs, this enchanting new tale about friendship is bound to capture the hearts of Guess How Much I Love You fans and everyone else the world over. Will You Be My Friend is a new family classic in the making, available wherever books are sold. I know Susan's a fan of this book. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan. My kids are loving it because it explores a lot of really important themes that we're currently dealing with. Independence for your kids, which I think every mom has a bittersweet feeling about.
Seriously.
It's like you want your kids to be independent, but then the second they do something that's independent, you're like, wait a minute. I started letting Idris like go to the bathroom by himself in a public place. If it feels like a safe place, like if we're at a restaurant and it's a place we've been before and he knows how to do it, I let him go to the bathroom by himself. And he thinks that is so cool. And I remember doing it when I was about 6 myself too. So, you know, little things like that. I do definitely want independent kids.
Independence. You know, the other thing that I like about this book is that it's a very like quiet undertone, but it's the undertone of like the differences in who we are, right? Like he's little nut brown hair and the other bunny is a different type of bunny, you know, like that kind of situation. So they become friends anyway. And it's not about that. Like it's about being friends, meeting each other and wanting to explore and have fun together. So it's a really cute book. I really love that Nikosh enjoys reading it before bed.
Will You Be My Friend is available wherever books are sold. Get yourself a copy.
So then we go into the ambulance. They let Justin and me in. I don't know what's happening with the midwife. She's following in a car or something. I'm not concerned. So we get in there. I'm holding the baby all wrapped up in the ambulance, sitting in the bed myself. Mm-hmm. Justin's on the bench in the back of the ambulance. And they put oxygen on the baby and the baby keeps declining. And then he coughs up again. And then they're like, okay, we're going to have to get ready to revive him if he stops breathing.
Oh my God.
So they get the fucking 1, 2, 3 clear things out.
The defibrillator.
Yeah. It was horrible. We didn't end up using it.
What are you doing? Like, I'm holding him shaking.
And I'm looking at Justin. And I remember we caught eyes at one moment. We were like, oh my God, our baby's going to die.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. It was a horrible moment.
Yeah.
Horrible. I never want that for anybody.
No.
So we get to the hospital though. Oh, and they redirect on the way when the baby declined so much. They were going to go to Santa Monica, UCLA, but we redirect to Westwood, UCLA, because Westwood, UCLA, NICU is like trauma number one or whatever. Yeah. Like they have different grades of trauma units. And this is where it's weird because when you ask me at the end, which you are, you're going to say, would you do it again at a home birth? I don't know how to answer because if all these things hadn't happened the way they did, I wouldn't have ended up at UCLA Westwood, which I literally think was the thing that saved his life. So we get there. There's 30 doctors. They're completely awesome. They take him on. It's super scary for the next 48 hours because we don't know if he has some rare heart disease that they're saying he could have that would mean he would die in the next 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Or he has pneumonia.
Right.
And that also is really bad.
Right.
But that probably won't kill him.
Right.
So we were like, pneumonia. Please be pneumonia.
And that's when you know it's bad, when you're like rooting for something that's still bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and then also you're in the NICU. And those of you who've been in the NICU, this isn't a place where you can hang out as a mom.
No.
Like you can't, or a dad. There's no couch.
Mm-mm.
It's not like a sitting area. There's the crib for the baby or that thing for the baby. And then there's like a fold up chair. And remember, I just gave birth.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not a patient at the hospital.
Right.
So this is unlike most people's NICU experiences where they're a patient, so they can, they have a space that they can go to.
Right. They might even wheel you in and stuff.
They might wheel you in. Yeah. You have pads.
Yeah.
You have doctors that are taking
and
care
nurses.
Of you.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing for that for me. I didn't even have a pad.
Yeah.
So when I was like, fuck, I'm bleeding through my pants. Sorry about the TMI.
No.
Doctors were like, we can't give you a pad because you're in the NICU and everything's registered. It's it wasn't even their fault. Like they wanted to. It was like everything's registered in the hospital, right? Everything costs something.
Yeah.
So they don't just have like pads sitting around for people. So that was a really interesting part. I'm like, I never thought about, like, I thought so much about safety during the actual birth, but I didn't think a lot about what would happen if there was something wrong with the baby.
After.
Yeah. What would happen to me?
Yeah.
Like, it was like the baby was taken care of and I felt solace in that. And he was. He totally was. So from that perspective, nothing about the home birth made his situation any better or worse. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I talk to doctors, they're like, honestly, if this happened on our birth ward, we would have seen the baby around this time anyway.
Yeah.
It takes them this long to decline when they have pneumonia. He ended up having pneumonia, by the way.
Yeah.
So they were like, this is sort of similar to what we would have seen anyway at this time at the NICU. So the baby, from a baby perspective, the home birth really was fine. But me, it wasn't. Like, I really didn't get any care. I was in this hospital room for 7 days in a fold-up chair trying to recover from birth. You know, it was really horrible. He had to be intubated. He had to have all the freaking things. Aww. It was horrible for a week. But then once the antibiotics started kicking in, he got better. And then like day 5, it was like I could breastfeed. And then day 6, I could hold him. And so it was a week of kind of horrible things. But then by day 7, we were home. And that was like as if we just pressed reset. The baby was like 100% healthy and like no issues ever since. So
wow.
So would I do it again? I don't know. I don't know. There were a lot about the experience that I liked. I mentioned those. And I think the only thing was you just really have to think through all scenarios. And I'd really only thought through from the lens of the baby.
Yeah.
Like I kept wanting to make sure the baby was going to be okay. I never really thought about me.
Yeah.
Because that was a really interesting piece of it. Recovering by myself in the NICU. Oh, and by the way, the second night, yeah. they were like, we can't have both of you here. Like, the NICU is not for parents to sleep here. Oh. So they were like, one of you has to go home. And of course, I had not slept in 2.5 days.
Yeah.
And in those 2.5 days, yeah. I also had labor. So I was like extremely fatigued.
Yeah.
And Justin was like, you need to go home, get some rest. Yeah. We'll switch in the morning. Like, yeah. the baby's fine. And they had a 24-hour nurse on this kid.
Yeah. I have to say, my NICU experience, they were so on.
They're
it.
Angels.
They
it's
are
insane.
Truly, truly angels that work in the NICU.
Insane. Yeah. I like hugged them all when I left pre-COVID.
thank you
from afar. First night home, I had the same experience you did. I come into my house,
yeah.
except this time that's where I had a baby, so it's like a war zone.
I know.
There's
I remember you
bloody
telling
sheets
me this.
There's bloody towels everywhere because we left in a hurry,
right? Yeah.
Oh,
and you hadn't been back.
Yeah. And so yeah. I like come back to this empty house and there's like all the stuff and I'm like, oh my god, okay, whatever, I'm so tired, I'm just gonna take a shower, I'm gonna go to bed. Fell asleep. It was really hard to fall asleep, but I did. And then at 2 a.m, I wake up. I think I'm having a blood clot because I have this pain in my eye, and I went blind for like 5 seconds.
Sorry, I'm lying.
No, it's fucking horrible. So and I'm it's like, so oh my god, I'm gonna die here alone. You know?
Oh my god, like, Dinah, I don't even know this through? Part.
It's so fucked up. I'm just laughing because of how sometimes there's no, comedy I know. And extreme tragedy. 100%. Like, what the fuck?
I'm not offended. Yeah. It is. It's like the things moms go through. Really,
it's just so fucked up.
It really is fucked up. And ugh. So then I call the ambulance myself. They show up. Not the same hot men, unfortunately, but they came up the stairs and, you know, they're like, we're going to take you in. You know, I'm like, where are my pants? Like, what do I do?
That
you know,
I know, for you. That's
I know.
Awful.
It's awful. Yeah. So I ended up being diagnosed with a full on panic attack.
Aww.
And they discharged me, but luckily they took me to Westwood UCLA again. So I was already with my baby. I just went upstairs.
Wow.
And they were like, yeah, you need to get some sleep. And I was like, don't you
no
hate
shit.
That when people say that to you? You just
like,
had a baby.
Tell
you're
me
like,
something I don't know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Fucking Captain Obvious over here. Like, you know?
Like, if I could sleep, I would sleep. Trust me.
So sorry that took so long.
No,
but it's,
I think I could honestly listen to birth stories all day. Like,
well,
we could have
so
a podcast
lessons.
About just
so
birth
lessons.
Stories, and I would be really into that. And
I regret not seeing all the red flags. You know, well, like, there were so many, but I want to tell you in that moment, it wasn't that obvious. And then weirdly on the flip side, the sort of hippy dippy part of me, I had mentioned this, like had we gone in right away.
Yeah.
I would have driven to my hospital, which was the Kaiser Hospital.
Right.
Which is like third or fourth on the list in terms of ability to handle that type of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't have even have been able to treat him. So we would have been helivacked.
Yeah.
To UCLA Westwood anyway, which would have been equally traumatizing.
Right.
Wait. How are babies born with pneumonia?
Oh my
it sounds
God.
Like he was born with it.
Yes. So this is another thing I learned in the NICU.
Yeah.
So you know how you get swabbed by that strep B
yeah.
or something?
Yes,
thing?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what they told me is, you know, in the past that was really predominantly responsible for any pneumonias in babies. So if you had it, they would make you take antibiotics so your baby didn't
birth.
Get
yeah.
pneumonia basically
yeah.
upon birth because that strep B would enter their lungs when they get
yeah. Yeah,
they
yeah.
go through. But what they're saying is that, like, you know, just, I don't know, in the last decade or last 5 years, with all the antibiotics we take, whatever, there's more bacteria now than we test for.
Oh.
And that they're causing pneumonia too. So even if you come up negative for strep yeah. B, which I did, you might have a different one. Who knows?
So totally, totally unpredictable.
Totally unpredictable. They were
and
like, it would have happened whether you were at home or in the
yeah.
hospital. Like
yeah.
it was...
Well,
yeah.
but you brought up an interesting point there. I can't remember her name. I've talked about this book before on the podcast, but she's like this statistician. Like she analyzes like statistics and stuff like that. And she has this little section in one of her books about like home birth. And she's like, I'm not anti home birth. And I actually like really love this whole thing. And she said, the only thing you need to think about is that when you look at like third world countries and stuff where women are having births at home, and by choice, it's not by choice, like that's just how they have to do it. The thing that ends up happening is like either it's the mom or the baby. If there's something that happens after the birth, that if they're not already in the hospital, the chances of something bad happening is that's when it happens,
mm-hmm.
is the afterwards, because then they're not in this direct medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's like, you know, I do think that a lot of the time we're thinking, well, how would we take care of the baby? But Mm-hmm. There's also the how do we take care of mom? Mm-hmm. And to think that you like had to sit in a NICU for 7 days. I can't even imagine. And then go home and have a panic attack.
I never thought about that.
I mean, it's just so much. It's so sad what exhaustion can do to a person too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you don't get rest, you just go insane. I mean, the fact that you had to get back into an ambulance 2.5 days later.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
And you guys, like, everything I know about Dinah, like you, like you're sitting there like, yeah, like everything I know about you too, you're a badass, right? Like you are like on top of all of your shit. Like you're not a person who's just like whatever about things.
No, this was not a reckless move. It was well thought through and in some ways unfortunate, but like, I don't know. So yeah, it's weird because had all those things not happened, we wouldn't have been in the ambulance at that moment where we got redirected. Like all of that had to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's weird that I'm like, yeah, but you know, it all worked out.
Like fate.
I know. And I have to say, he's such a little yummy thing.
Oh yeah. He's like, he's like chunky and happy.
We call him T-Bone.
Yeah. You would never know that he had anything like that happen in his
birth. And honestly, that was like day 7. It was literally like we pressed, he just had a pneumonia infection. Just like, so once the antibiotics kicked in, it literally all went away. It was like a, so it was a horrible 2 days, a less horrible next 2 days. And then by a week, it was like, okay, we're done. And it's like, you appreciate everything so much more.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's the other thing about NICU birth stories is I feel like when you do get home, you're just like, oh my gosh, I never appreciated breastfeeding this much.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was an experience. I don't know. It's sort of like compartmentalized now away. It only comes out when people ask me, but it doesn't impact me. I did see a therapist about it. Oh, this was interesting. And actually a good lesson to all moms, I have to say, because I think these birth stories are all traumatic for us.
Yeah.
In some way or another, or most. I bet a lot of trauma.
Oh, right?
For sure.
And so I was right around when COVID happened, I was having like all kinds of weird anger issues. It's like I'm not an angry person. I'm like really happy. My nickname's Bubbles.
Yeah.
I was in the car and I was trying to get cupcakes for some reason. And like I don't know what happened. I got so angry. I threw the cupcakes out the door, screaming in rage, like a really unusual thing for me. And so I called my therapist, who I don't talk to a lot, but I talk to at like, you know, critical times. This is a whole, almost 8 months after birth. And I wasn't thinking about birth at all during any of this. So I call him and I'm like, I don't know what the deal is. I've been really angry for like 4 days, like legit angry. Yeah. And I feel like I'm in prison. I mean, COVID had a lot to do with this.
Oh, yeah.
But so this is how interesting our psyche is. So when I'm talking to him, I want to find a quiet place in the house, right? So I go, I don't know why I'm doing this, but in my brain, I go upstairs and I sit down on Justin's side of the bed to have the conversation. That's also where I had Tabas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right before we went to the tub, but like I was sitting there almost the whole time. I don't know why I went there. It's almost like my brain knew I needed to talk about it to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there and I was just telling him about how angry I was. And then he was like, all right, so just tell me more. I think that's all he asked me. And I just started going into the birth, which is like the weirdest thing because it wasn't at all on my conscious level of thought. And I had all this emotion. I was crying and I was telling him about how scary it was. And he was just listening to me. It was a 90 minute call. And he's like, motherfucking $500 an hour too. Yeah. So I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, you're talking, you know? So I'm like, this is like a grand, damn it. but it was so helpful. And at the end, you know, he was just like, you have PTSD.
Yeah.
And he's like, so many moms do. And they carry it with them for years.
Yeah.
And they don't even know what's impacting them. Anyway, that was really interesting to me because I was like, shit, we should all be talking to a therapist after birth.
Yeah.
Just talking to somebody, right? Like just even me, we just did another episode and I just felt like venting about my hatred for Zoom, which if you give me a second to vent about Zoom, like I will do it.
It was one of those things where like on a Zoom call.
Actually with your sister.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And then she starts talking about Zoom and how much she hates it. And then it just goes. And I look over at her. I was like, oh.
I can't stop. I need to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
Like I do feel so much better when I talk about things that are really important that, you know, have shifted my life and changed me. And I think it's so important to talk. That's a good little tip and takeaway is talk. Find somebody.
And you might be angry for a reason that's not obvious.
Right.
If you just have this general feeling, like, which is why I was sort of like, where's this anger coming from? I mean, COVID makes sense, but there was something calling me to talk about it. So I'm happy I did, obviously, but it was a lesson. That was a big lesson for me. It is really traumatic.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Why do you think
birth has to be so traumatic. Have you guys talked about this?
No, but I mean, well, and I can see why your birth was traumatic.
This that is why I wanted a planned C-section from day one. Like my doctor, everyone's always like, you always hear all those people be like, doctors will try to make more money off of you and push you into a C-section. And it's like, that wasn't my experience. My doctor was like, do you really want a planned C-section? You've never had a baby before. Let's think about this. I think you would do a great job giving birth vaginally. And like, he talked me into this whole thing. And I still think back on that. I'm like, I wanted a planned C-section, okay? Like, I ended up in an emergency C-section, and that's exactly the thing I did not want, and that's what happened. And there's just, I think it's like...
trauma.
Oh, with your first one.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Like, yeah. You can't...
I just wonder evolutionarily, like, what the point is of making it, like, so painful so
like,
traumatic.
Like, why does it gotta go through there?
Why?
Yeah.
And then why? It's amazing we do it again.
Obviously, we could talk to Dinah forever. And
that's why we're going to.
And the beauty of it is that we're going to have a whole nother episode with Dinah, because we didn't even get to talk about her life as a business woman.
Yep.
So part two with Dynamite is coming up next week. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Bye.
Bye.